everybody. Welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Laurel.
Did you forget your name?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's one of those days.
We're having one of those
in,
days.
Folks.
I had quite a week, and now we're taking on quite a topic, so I'm...
Yes, yeah. But this has been one that we've been anticipating... And
yes.
wanting to do a deep dive on.
Mm-hmm. We've got this, just random backstory. We have a little, like, kind of spreadsheet. It's not little at all anymore, but we have spreadsheet of, like, all of the stuff we're working on. There's, like, a tab for, like, upcoming concepts, like, just ideas that we want to put in the back burner for something. And finally, Crystal was like, is it time? And I'm like...
And I'm like, I didn't even ask. I'm like, I think it's time.
So to put you out of your misery,
yeah.
what we're talking yeah. about today,
Laurel's like,
is the Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Yes.
Specifically, today's episode is going to be about the Adventurers Club that was
yes.
once in Pleasure Island, which
yes.
was once part of Disney Springs slash Disney Marketplace.
Downtown Disney.
Whatever you want to call it now.
Yeah. And this is going to be a multi-part event.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're calling it an event. Just the word that popped in my
head. It's a multi-part miniseries.
But this is the origin-esque of the
yeah.
Disney Sea
yeah.
universe.
It's like the
yes.
first Iron Man movie of the MCU, but like in...
But for the secret society of Disney.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Disney has a secret society!
Yes, yes.
And these guys for the Adventurers Club are still trying to get together and are still so active that... Okay... I'm broaching this already.
Oh.
Since they came out with the gesturing to myself Adventurers Club t-shirt
mm-hmm.
again through actual Disney shops.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we
like
found
it did with
at Disney Springs.
Yeah,
yeah,
like they did with Orange Bird and other dying, you know, Disney IP.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to bring it back?
Pausing. I mean, it's the only thing I've ever seen of it.
I
like,
know.
Like in merch, like
yeah.
So it's interesting that they've chosen to bring it back, but it could just be that they know that there is this very cult following.
Right.
And they have done more with it in different parks recently. So
true, true.
But
we're getting
ahead
of ourselves.
Yes, yes. Quite. So talking about the backstory of the Adventurers Club, both in a sense of like real life and also like lore, since it was an original component of when they released Pleasure Island, which is one of those early... one of those early Eisner zany things.
It was one of
yes.
Eisner's good things
yeah.
that he did.
The one club
was a good thing. The rest of it was like, what is happening?
Mannequin was okay. That was like one of the first gay clubs.
But at the same time,
it's just like, who's going to Disney property to go to a nightclub? Like, I think that's why it kind of fizzled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was certainly fraught with its own set of issues.
We're not even having drinks right
I
now.
I'm doing great, you guys.
It's just us dudes.
So it's just us dudes. So, anyway, yeah. So the Adventurers Club was a component of the original Pleasure Island concept. And the backstory for Pleasure Island was there was this, it was like the Imagineers unearthed the original, like, property of Meriwether Adam Pleasure, because that's something that they thought would be cheeky and fun. And so the idea was that the Adventurers Club was going to be his personal library, and he had, you know, books and artifacts in there from around the world, and his wife said that they didn't want it to be in the house anymore, so get it out of my house. And so Meriwether Pleasure created this Adventurers Club
yes.
to host all of his trinkets. Yes, yes. So, which reminds me of Guillermo del Toro, but anyway, he did that too.
Right, the traveling exhibit was
excellent. He bought a second house
yeah.
just so his wife's like, we need to get this out of the house. We cannot have the man with no eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But like the interesting thing is, unlike the other clubs surrounding it, this club was supposed to be set in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's supposed to open in 1932 and kind of goes from there, and you're celebrating the New Year's Eve of like 1937,
mm-hmm.
so right before the 40s hits. It's a very specific time in history that they've set this.
And the thing about the New Year's, why we're celebrating New Year's, is because on Pleasure Island every night you were celebrating
New Year's.
Yeah.
So that way they had the rationale for fireworks as well as getting people out of said clubs at a reasonable time.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, and then
clever.
Having the fireworks go
yeah.
off
yeah.
and then since everybody's already out, they could just lock the doors and bye.
Mm-hmm.
It was honestly, Pleasure Island was a really interesting concept. But anyway, that's... Yes.
I mean, we did make an episode on it, so I don't remember what episode number it is, but if you want to go back into our catalog.
When I post this, maybe I'll stick it in the description so people can
definitely.
See yeah, what number it was.
But like the club also, besides celebrating New Year's, attracted a number of like really odd adventure characters.
Yes.
That then became A, performers there, or B, just members of the society overall.
Right, right.
So let's get to the actual physicality of it. It opened up with Pleasure Island on May 1st in 1989. So this is right before the 90s hit.
Right before the 90s hit.
It is a very 80s concept.
And, you know, around Epcot time. So this is before Epcot? No. No.
Epcot was 81.
Epcot was 81. Never mind. 82.
No, wait.
Yes, this year's the 40th.
It is after Epcot.
Anyway.
It is after
Epcot,
yes.
Oh my gosh, we are just but this was Eisner's response to the big Church Street complex that was going on in downtown Orlando, where that was kind of old West can-can dancer.
It was an interesting thing, too.
Yeah, it's the old Michael Eisner business tactic of jealousy.
That's the thing, it's just like... Don't leave anything for the rest of the people.
Businesses trying to make it around.
I like it, and I'll take it.
So Roger Cox and Joe Rohde got together, and on a napkin, as is the standard operating procedure for any Disney Imagineer, sketch up this concept about these adventurers getting together and having a club, and it also was themed a little bit on a party that Joe Rohde hosts every year, and where it was kind of like, you know, adventurers. It says, to quote, it came out of our collective, a shared love of the world, a shared love of the world of the pith helmet and all that circled around it. It was a place where we always wanted to go, but it didn't exist, which I understand where they were coming from on this. And I love the concept of, you know, exploring and seeing new things and trying new stuff.
Right.
But, you know, nowadays we're aware that colonialism is bad and problematic.
Yes.
And
right. So problematic themes going through this club that in the 80s were not so like...
Well formed in terms of knowing where the problems were,
or like the outcry socially was not so large,
so dramatic. Yes,
unfortunately.
But they pulled inspiration from the actual Adventurers Club from 1904, which had a chapter in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Honolulu. There's also questionable connections or inspirations from End of the Earth Club, which had members such as Mark Twain and other people.
plenty of others.
As you can tell, I'm not really too worried. But either way, they created this whole concept to basically become a place of oddities and trinkets and general chaos. And
do
so
general
if you
chaos.
Want to talk about the layout, I think that'd be
So believe it or not, 7-year-old Laurel did go here.
Yes.
My parents took me, and looking back now at the videos, you can find them on YouTube, and I definitely encourage you to do that.
Yes, please.
It's like, what did you take the 7-year-old here for?
/ why isn't this open right now so we can go?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there were four main showrooms. There was the main salon, the mask room, the treasure room, and the library. So through the night, you could make your way to different areas of this place, and there are different kind of shows happening at each one, or things that would happen in each one. The Adventurers Club, it featured a lot of animatronics, early animatronics, but they were actually like pretty darn good.
It's not your Rainforest Cafe animatronics.
It's not a it's more of a Country Bears.
Good.
But the animatronics are supposed to be live people.
Got it.
Okay. There's
the
all
mask wall.
Yes, for the mask wall. And then there are puppets, and then a live cast that also performed every night. They did improvisational comedy, and then they also kind of mingled throughout the crowd during the night. So, like, you could have kind of one-on-one interactions, or it would be interactions as part of the show that would be kind of broadcast around, but it was still super fun.
Which makes me think that they brought that back with the Star Cruiser.
I'm going to say move over, Galactic Star Cruiser.
that's probably how this got started. If you think it's overwhelming, it's still happening.
Yes. Yeah. And then you would also, a kind of fun part of this, another like immersion thing like Star Wars, is that you would be given fictitious names and recognized as fellow adventurers.
Oh, that's cool.
Otherwise, they would just refer to you as drunks.
Which, you know, totally appropriate for a 7-year-old to be.
Absolutely. I love that. That's exceptional. Sorry. I'm just taking all this in.
So I will admit I've never gone, but the deep dive rabbit hole that I've gone on for years about the Adventurers Club makes me fairly actually familiar with the characters and their shows and stuff. I appreciate that it didn't close until 2008. So we do have videos of the different characters and different skits and stuff.
Yeah.
If we want to go into some of the live characters, I think that we can talk about, you know, running around. Hathaway Brown was handsome and he knows it. Aviator.
Yes.
when being introduced by the butler Greaves.
Yeah.
Or Graves, sorry, not Greaves, Graves. he likes to add titles to everybody as a middle name. And let's just say this is a very problematic.
Oh, no.
Again, this is not family friendly, but the Hathaway, I didn't know she was a minor Brown, was middle name that was used. Otis T. Wren was the stodgy club treasurer who owes Graves, I think he says, like $700,000 or something in back pay.
Wow.
Pamela Perkins is the club president and who minds her P's and Q's, and she's always just super excited and has no problem getting lost before she tries to tell a story. Samantha Sterling is an expert explorer and a cabaret singer.
Very nice.
She is known for her sexy pants. What was one of the nicknames that Graves gave her? I can crack open a coconut with my thighs. I don't know. It was just hilarious and, you know, fitting. Obviously, Graves is the butler, and all of these characters can be played by different people throughout the life of the club. But the one character that when they had different actors that changed names was the maid. So there was like Kiki, there was Tallulah, there was a whole bunch of other people that played this French maid, actually got to have their own separate names versus everybody else was.
And did they do that? Did they have control over the character's personality and stuff too? Or was it just kind of the name?
I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But if you want to go on YouTube and watch the maid's show, which was Tallulah's Hoo-Ha. My name is Tallulah. It gets stuck in your head because she has like the tiniest little voice. And it's super cute. And the other characters that I'm going to bring up that you'll still be able to see video of and were very, very popular was the Colonel. Colonel Crickslow. He was the club glee meister. He was actually a puppet that was done live.
Oh, wow.
And he was the one that would sing songs and joke around in the main room. The Babylonia was a giant face on the wall. Think Legends of the Hidden Temple, but
like Easter Island.
Easter Island sort of thing, okay. But it was in the main room as well, stuck on the wall. That was semi-animatronic-y, but with live talking.
Okay.
And then Arnie and Claude, which were the masks
referencing. Those are the ones, that I remember the most from being a kid. It was the masks on the wall.
Yeah, in the mask room, obviously. And they were Greek gods, but kind of a play on the happy, sad theater masks
I see. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got all these characters. In terms of like timeline, is Meriwether Pleasure like dead at this point and these are different people, or this is still his
It says club, but he never shows up.
He never shows up. Nope. Okay. Okay. So it's he's in the timeline. He's just not present.
Correct.
Got it.
Or at least that I'm aware of. Now, okay. Remember, this is supposed to be a specific day, Groundhog style, over and over and
got
over
it.
Again.
Got it.
So
he lets the lunatics run the asylum on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
And then along with it just being a regular bar that mm-hmm. you can go into and have beverages and stuff, and the character interactions, they do have regular shows that they would put on within the club as well throughout the evening with those characters.
Okay.
So the new member induction ceremony happens multiple times a night. That's one where you'll even see when we were going to Sanaa and mm-hmm. the valet dude gave the hand gesture.
Yep.
Because he saw my t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hand gesture that they teach every night to the people. Basically, you take your right hand, you put it at your solar plexus, you wiggle it around like a fish, then you take a drink and then throw it over your shoulder. So what I saw, because I didn't even recognize it at that point in time, was... and I'm like, I don't remember. The Kongaloosh to you. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you're taught a creed, and then you have a song. So are you guys interested in knowing those two, or do we want to move on? Because they're ridiculous.
Let's hear the creed. Okay. The creed. I'm into that.
Okay, so the club creed. We climb the highest mountains just to get a better view. We plumb the deepest oceans because we're daring through and through. We cross the scorching deserts, martinis in our hands. We ski the polar ice caps with in tuxedos looking grand. We are reckless, brave, and loyal, and valiant to the end. If you come in as a stranger, you'll exit as a friend. And that supposedly was done by Meriwether.
Oh, very nice.
My pleasure. He created it. Yeah, created the founder. Oh, and they gave a date of 1927 as if that's accurate.
Oh, okay. I love that.
That is when it was written.
All I can think of
with
this...
Prove them wrong.
Prove them wrong. I'd love you to try to prove them wrong. All this reminds me of is the Red Green Show, and I don't know why. Like, with the creed where at the end of the... I don't know. None of you watched this show.
No, I
haven't. Okay. Like, you know, the end at Possum Lodge where they like stand mm-hmm. in the... For whatever reason, like the creed of... Anyway, sorry. Popping into my head.
It was kind of the time period of
it was.
I mean, they also did like another skit that they did was like this radio show, the Radiothon.
Yes, the Radiothon.
That they were trying to... that storyline goes that they're trying to raise $2,000 in that night or else they're going to be kicked off of the lease.
Right.
And so they do dumb things on stage to try mm-hmm. and raise the money. Like, I think there was one where they had a cup drawing competition, like actually drawing a cup.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to sell the cup images.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, Just so you understand, the only night that they didn't make the full $2,000 was the closing night.
Oh.
So, I mean, that kind
Wait,
of
did,
matches.
Hold on a second. Were people actually buying this stuff?
Yes, they were actually giving money.
Question.
Don't ask me where it went.
Okay, that was my question. I'm like, this is not a nonprofit. Where is this money going?
I hope it was going to, like, the actors, because the paid performers, if you could get the tips like that.
If it was tips, that would make sense.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Another fun one is the Balderdash Cup.
Okay.
Which was a tall tale story competition where you're trying to prove that it was true. And
like the entire club.
But there no, so there are three actors involved in this. And I forgot to include one. Emil Belshall is a character where it's this like grown-ass man, and he shows up in like this Boy Scout costume.
Oh no.
And he is very excited to share his story, and everybody is like, but he's the only one that can prove that it's true, and so he wins the Balderdash Cup. And it's hilarious.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then I told you about the maid sing-along.
Yes.
With Tallulah's hoo-ha.
Of course. Jeez.
My name is Tallulah.
It's okay. At the end, she sings an homage to Indiana Jones about whipping her. It's fine.
Oh, my.
And kids were allowed here, folks.
And it ran until 08.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yes.
And then there was the Hoopla, which is the evening finale. It's a gathering of a whole bunch of people coming out eventually to wander up into the fireworks.
Sure.
But it was the best way to gather people out of said club and a nice way to round off the evening. I think about it kind of like the kiss goodnight as the final way to shush you out.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very cool.
So that, as far as I have any sort of connection to,
right,
is the Adventurers Club.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Laurel, what you remember.
I mean, it's very little. I remember the masks. I remember the general setting. I remember some of the characters walking around with like a fez.
Okay.
But generally, like, when I look back at stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, like it'll jog my memory, but there's not a ton. I remember loving it. Even as a child, everything must have gone way over my head because, of course, like it's all innuendo.
Right. That's kind of a Disney thing, isn't it? Where they do, if they're going to throw something kind of risque in there, it's going to just go like directly over a kid's head. They're not going to understand.
Like all I could think of was like the funny song with the Colonel was like a big part.
Right.
Like that was funny to me. And I didn't really realize some of those lyrics were referring to.
In that scenario, were you guys sitting down?
We were definitely sitting down.
Okay.
I mean, we had to be young. I think it's 7, but it might have been a little bit older. But still, my sister's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
So we were both there if one of us was there.
That's wild. So, I'm trying to think. So
I have pictures of it, like in a photo album.
Okay, I'm gonna need a scan of that. Maybe it'll be the thumbnail. Who's to say? So I guess kind of just from like and this is of course me going like logistically, did it have food or was it a full restaurant? Was it only drinks?
It was only drinks as far as I'm aware. Now I haven't been able to see an actual menu, but for the most part, I know that there was lots of running around on tables and stuff during a performance. So one of the videos out there, the Balderdash Cup, has people climbing across tables. So if that had food, it'd be harder to manage versus beverages where you can kind of push them away.
And maybe they just had like hors d'oeuvres in like one area where that wasn't an issue. I don't really recall, but I just know that it's got such a cult following.
It does.
I didn't realize it didn't close till 2008. Like, that's crazy to me because it seems like such a nostalgic piece of Disney history. And for the fact that it was only been closed for like almost 15 years, it seems like a lot longer ago.
I'll agree.
And it's funny because I've been going to Disney for a long time and I didn't know about it until I started this podcast. Like, we were, it was like probably 2018 that I found out that it even existed, and I had like no memory of it even being around. Granted, my parents probably wouldn't have been interested in taking me because I would have been like, this is loud! Like, I would have been not interested in any of that.
Your parents might have been a little bit more responsible than mine. the big, like, Jessica Rabbit outside.
I'm not
like
going to judge your parents. It's fine.
I mean, it sounds, and that's the other thing too, so like, was there a cutoff time where it became 21 and up?
Again, you're asking me these things.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's actually listed though in the Pleasure Island episode that we did that there was a specific 21 plus cutoff time.
I'm sure there was.
And I know it changed throughout the time that Pleasure Island existed too.
Yes.
I know that was
like a whole thing. The only reason that this closed down was because of the revamp of Pleasure Island. So the masks at one video were referencing going to Tokyo because Tokyo was established at that point in time, and we'll see you there. And so there was an idea that this could just move or be reimagined or relocated someplace else. And when it closed for good, which shocked everybody because it was so popular.
Right.
And then there have been a handful of reunion gatherings as well since then. I know that there was one in 2014. I know that there was one that happened on a beach. I know that there was like a lot of different ones because so many people are still head over heels in love with this place.
It does seem like, you know, very, there was a period in time where the idea of like the highly themed restaurant thing was, oh, like, yeah, like, you know,
the height of Planet Hollywood and Rainforest Cafe.
And there was
up.
Some,
again, the 90s.
Some others. Yeah, yeah. there was a Steven Spielberg backed submarine themed submarine sandwich restaurant. Like, it got called Dive. You guys look this up. It's wild. Anyway,
I love that you're gesturing to the bookcase.
Yes. Well, that's where the people are over there. But it's crazy. Like, that was an entire thing, and that fad faded in, like, mm-hmm. the really early 2000s. And part of me wonders, even though the Adventurers Club, to me, the way it sounds so much more rich and mm-hmm. multifaceted than, like, the classic Planet Hollywood experience, which also still exists, maybe that's the wrong example, but a lot of things didn't survive it. Hard Rock Cafe didn't, like, a lot of those locations yeah. didn't survive Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, I think it also might be that there are some problematic themes.
That's
yes,
a it good didn't point. Which is where age we can, well.
Yeah,
maybe that's where we finish this episode.
We segue into this.
Yes,
The cast was all white.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single actor, which is honestly not shocking for the 90s.
It was the 90s.
I know, but still, it was problematic because yeah. it was. You know, glorifying us going into
and taking mm-hmm. artifacts and mm-hmm. stealing national treasures mm-hmm. from other countries and putting them on display. And
gosh, it turns out that maybe they didn't appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So there were problematic themes. I think that they did a great job, which we'll touch on later, taking this really cult beloved property and having it stay in the parks in a different way, in a different mm-hmm. iteration that yeah. really makes a kind of rich backstory that you have to look for and you have to, like, be in the know to yeah. know about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And being and removing, and it's too bad that they couldn't have kind of retooled some things, but it's mm-hmm. it's just like it kind of feels like it falls in the same kind of world as Tiki for me.
Yeah, I was going to say this. Yeah. The closest that you're going to get on property currently to a situation
like
remotely like
yeah.
this would have been
Trader Sam's Grog Grotto. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you get interactive theming. You have very very spicy bartenders and stuff
you
like that.
You could have
but
some good cast. It's not
yeah,
themed.
It's not themed. Like the people aren't themed
not,
that
not
way.
Not so much sexual innuendo at the Grog Grotto.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
But
so
I look forward to discussing more on our next episode
yes,
about how this still kind of exists, guys.
And,
so.
it's a rabbit hole.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Which so is, long. We had to really discussion. Scale it back.
Yeah. We're like, how many episodes are we going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have enough episodes for 10. Enough research for 10. No, we're not going to do that many. But
unless you want, then you can ask us. Maybe we will.
Maybe
we
do Patreon exclusives
yeah.
for
ooh,
like,
there you go.
Like individual,
each Z member.
That could be kind of fun.
Oh my god, that makes my little research heart happy.
Yes. Oh, we could do so much fun research stuff on Patreon.
Yes.
Also, gang, we have a Patreon. Some of you are listening. I know that there's some of you who have subscribed on Apple Podcasts, and that's appreciated. But with Patreon, we have some additional flexibility where you can get access to things that are different than
just
the stuff.
The,
yeah, just
episode?
The normal stuff. Yeah. I know in the past we've had us playing like Disney-themed games as like a live stream. We've had I've written a couple of diatribes about my experiences with technical stuff. So if you want to start your own podcast, I've done that before. You know, and we can also post polls to see, you know, content that you want to see more of, kind of influence where we, what we do. And, you know, and we'll continue to add more stuff as we get more people. But it'd be really, really cool if you really like our content that you would maybe
hop on over there.
And yeah, maybe we'd get some more stuff going.
Yeah.
If we have some kind of neat stuff down yeah. down the pipe too,
so
that we
much
would really
pipeline.
Like to yeah that we'd like to start going to. So it'd be awesome to see what we can do.
Yeah. On that note, this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Laurel.
And we hope you have a great big beautiful tomorrow.
Every
bye everybody.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.